Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
Did you know that of the 2,336 characters on 345 of the most popular TV shows airing between 1987 and 2007, only three were Native American? 62% of non-Native Americans report not knowing a single one of the over 5 million Native Americans in the United States, 70% of whom live in urban areas. And then there's the issue of stereotypes. What if a well-known and gifted storyteller wanted to change that landscape? Hello, Mataki Api. Welcome to Hochoka here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, today's Hochoka host. Joseph Marshall III is that storyteller, and today we talk to him about the trilogy of novels inspired by life lived on the fictional landscape of the Smoky River Reservation. The works illustrate the non-fictional reality of who Native American people are. Joseph, a warm Hochoka welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And last season we did a podcast with you, and it was about one of those novels called Sing for the Red Dress.
Right.
And it provides a bridge for us from the episodes that are focused on Native American, Native written literature,
right,
to the topic of missing and murdered Indigenous women. What are the titles of the other two books and their plot lines?
Okay. There are obviously two more. One is called The Last Prisoner of Little Bighorn.
And the other book?
The other book is A Wolf and a Crow. And they were both of them contemporary novels.
Okay.
They're not historical. I've written historical novels, three of them. These are contemporary. And they're set on a mythical reservation. I base that on my home reservation of Rosebud.
Okay.
Because I know that, and I know what life is sort of like on that reservation, mm-hmm, and the kind of situations that we encounter as modern Lakota people.
Right.
Anything from the relationship with the government to everyday life to the IHS, the BIA, all those aspects of our lives now are into that novel.
Okay.
Into both those novels.
Yep.
Yeah, all of them.
Yep.
The first one, The Wolf and a Crow, is going to come out next March.
Okay.
And the storyline is very simple to me, because simplicity is what I thrive on, because I'm a simple-minded person, probably. The storyline is about two people. There are two protagonists in the storyline, one white and one Native,
mm-hmm,
one white and one Lakota. The white character is a very wealthy, influential rancher,
mm-hmm,
from the who made his living on a reservation. And the other is a retired Bureau of Indian Affairs superintendent. They're both in their 60s, both have pretty much lived their lives, and they are what they are with their prejudices and their ideas about life. The white rancher has his ideas about what natives are all about, mm-hmm, and the native guy has his ideas conversely. The interesting thing is, even though they've hated each other all their lives,
mm-hmm,
from boyhood and have fights with each other, when they got older, one has a daughter, the white man has a daughter, the Indian man has a son, and those two marry each other.
Ah, okay.
So there's a twist there,
mm-hmm,
an ironic twist. And they produce a grandchild, a granddaughter. And, of course, both grandpas dote on that one granddaughter. Mm-hmm. So one thing they share, they have in common.
Right.
You know. As it turns out, the granddaughter is kidnapped and is taken away to Argentina. And the kidnapper says, don't call the FBI, don't call the cops. If you do that, then something bad will, mm-hmm, happen to your granddaughter. And in return, he wants a ransom from the wealthy white rancher for something that he's done in the past to cause grievance to his family. And so the two characters are forced to come together,
mm-hmm,
to figure out how to rescue their granddaughter. So that's what the story is about.
Okay.
To put aside their own prejudices, their own ideas about what each one of them is individually and somehow find a way to work together and overcome all that crap in order to rescue their granddaughter.
Yep.
That's what it's about. It's really about dealing with prejudices. It's really about dealing with attitudes that we've had all our lives about one thing or another.
Right.
About other people.
And understanding each other.
Understanding each other eventually.
Yeah.
You know.
And it deals with the topic of MMIW as well, with the granddaughter being
told. To a certain extent, it does, yeah. Okay. It focuses on the granddaughter situation.
Plot-wise, yeah, at least anyway. Yeah. And in this case, the kidnapper knows the family and was doing this very pointedly.
Kidnapper has an association with the white rancher's family in the past.
Yep.
And is taking issue with something that happened in the past.
Got it, yep.
Right.
So the other book, if I got it right, it was The Last Prisoner of...
Right, of The Last Prisoner of Little Bighorn.
And which I'm already thinking to myself, it's a contemporary book, mm-hmm. and it's very interesting that The Last Prisoner of Little Bighorn, right. obviously, you know, whoever that might have been in reality is gone. Right. So it's a metaphysical kind of a prison.
Well, no, it's literally... In this case, it's not so much as a human prisoner, but the story is based on one of my great-grandfathers who found a pistol at the end of the battle on Last Stand Hill, and he took it mm-hmm. and brought it home with him and kept it all the rest of his life and eventually was buried with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took that knowledge and developed this whole story around it. So the prisoner is a pistol.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And so, you know, in the story, the pistol is a certain kind of pistol that was made in England and gifted to one of the Custer brothers, George Custer or his brother Thomas Custer.
Yep.
So that's part of the story. The other is a murder mystery. And our protagonist is dragged into that mystery because he knows the young man who was killed. And the two storylines are brought together in a way we don't expect. You know, the pistol and its existence impacts, you know, the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn about how we all look at history, how it affects us and how it impacts our current lives and so forth. So you know, eventually the mystery is solved, but it leads us on an interesting journey.
Okay. With a lot of backstory from Little Bighorn,
obviously a lot of backstory. There's an opening prologue, and an ending epilogue.
Okay,
and those are both set in the past.
Okay,
before the battle and after the battle.
Yeah,
so in between is
this
story.
And is that set on is the rest of it set on Sichangu down in
Rosebud
Land?
It's based on where my ancestors were, where they grew up. Because some of my ancestors, at the time of the development of the events leading up to the Little Bighorn,
mm-hmm.
some of them were still living on what is now the Rosebud Reservation.
Okay.
Even in 1875 and 76.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I've read your stuff on Little Bighorn or Greasy Grass before, and it's definitive as far as I'm concerned. Right. I mean, just it's very good stuff. There's been so much written about it, and
obviously,
and I appreciate your take on that.
Right.
The characters that weave in and out of these three novels, because mm-hmm. they are a trilogy, they go together in some semblance for you. I don't know yet because I haven't read them. So, but who are they, and what are they trying to convey?
Obviously, there are people who are living here and now, and I think the basis for these novels are. A lot of works that I've read in the past, fiction or nonfiction,
mm-hmm.
about Native people in general and the Lakota culture and history specifically, somehow always portray us to be victims.
Mm-hmm.
That we're always facing, and which is true. We, you know, life on a reservation is not easy,
mm-hmm.
and there are circumstances and there are issues like drug abuse and methamphetamine. and now COVID and all those issues that make it, you know, make life tough for anybody, but especially for people on a res.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of us are victims. Not all of us are that way in a sense that we're behind the eight ball. We're not. Some mm-hmm. of us, I have a cousin who's a physician.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cousin who was a lawyer and a judge. And I have people, I have relatives, and I know people who have been successful mm-hmm. in this society.
Yeah.
We live our lives just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. We're not all victims.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to not only integrate into what the society is, but we become successful at it.
Yeah.
And some of us are teachers. Some of us go on to earn higher degrees. And we do really well. So we live life like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to shift the gaze away from us being victims and us being everyday, normal, successful people.
Yeah.
As part of what life is on the reservation in a greater sense. So that's what the novels are about.
That's great.
Right.
Because we kind of said it in the header. We want to challenge those stereotypes.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And teach people that there's something more out there.
Sure.
And I'll take it a step further with the kids that I work with here who are Lakota, Nakota, mm-hmm. Dakota. I want them to know their history
sure.
and what that means, but I also don't want them to operate in this world as victims, to,
right.
to see themselves as victims
right.
or to have the world. I don't want them to think that the world sees them that way either.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. I mean, there's too much of the too many generations of that going on.
Yeah.
So we need to teach our young people that, one, they can be whatever they want
yep.
and get out in the world and succeed.
Yeah.
Just, you know, as long as they try.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's great. Do these novels kind of depart from some of your other works that pass on some of the important teachings, like the Lakota wisdom, values, lessons on life?
Yeah, it's a departure for me in that sense. One, they're contemporary.
Yeah, yeah.
But history figures a lot into the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character in there. The two characters. One is a medicine man, where he. His knowledge of the history in the past figures into the storyline, where he draws on that to deal with contemporary issues,
yeah.
like some of us do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But history is important,
mm-hmm.
But living life right now is important as well.
Yeah.
So it's a slight departure in that sense, but still I try to incorporate a little bit of what the lessons from the past are, or what our culture today, how we can integrate it into today's life.
Yeah. And are they all fictional characters too?
All fictional
right?
characters, yeah, based on people I know.
Okay.
Experiences I've had.
Yeah.
And so forth.
Yeah. yeah. Built them up from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you also kind of leverage these novels to expose some of the contemporary issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One issue is the missing and murdered indigenous women. Another issue is substandard health care.
Mm-hmm.
And the IHS's presence on the reservation and how we as Native people deal with those issues and mm-hmm. how it affects us day in and day out, and the development of the Bureau of Indian Affairs over the years and mm-hmm. how that impacts us on a reservation,
mm-hmm.
and racism
yeah.
and poverty and all those issues that are part and parcel of life for Native people, whether we live in an urban community or on a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are still factors in our lives. And so naturally, I'm going to incorporate all those factors into these stories, because to do so otherwise would not be realistic.
Yeah, you wouldn't have your reality.
No, not at all.
And things have been portrayed unrealistically
exactly.
for long enough.
Right.
So when are we going to find these novels? When can we get our hands on them?
In 2024, in March, The Wolf and the Crow will be released. And then in May comes Sing for the Red Dress.
Okay.
And then later on in the fall, in October, I think, will be Last Prisoner of Little Bighorn. So all in the same year, but over a period of months.
Back to back to back.
Exactly.
That's prolific.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, you,
right.
you've been working.
I've been working hard, yes.
Yeah. Isn't yes. that great, though, to have that creative buzz?
It's a journey. It's an adventure to write.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that I do every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's great. And we thank you for your writing. I can't wait to get my hands on the books. I will definitely be reading those. And whether you're sharing it in book form and writing for the masses, or you're speaking, telling the stories in this way, it's just a pleasure. It's a gift to have you here to share these stories, not only with me, but with our audience as well.
Well, I'm always glad to be here, so really appreciate the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Whoopie luck to you, Joseph.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
And we also thank our audience for joining us here at Ho-Choka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus, where we talk about issues central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.